නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. ක්ලී සන් ඔෆ් හිරණ්‍යකශිපු ටෙක්ස්ට් නම්බර් 15. ශ්‍රී නාරද උවාච ඒතාවත් බ්‍රාහ්මණා යෝක්ත්වා වීරරාමා මහාමතිහි තම් සන්නිබාර්ත්‍යා කූපිතා සුදීනෝ රාජසේවකහ. Completion and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great sage Narad Muni continued, "The great soul Prahlad Maharaj became silent after saying this to his teachers, Sanda and Amarka, the seminal sons of Sukracharya. The so-called Brahmanas then became angry at him. Because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu, they were very sorry. And to chastise Prahlad Maharaj, they spoke as follows." Purport. The word Shukra means semen. The sons of Sukracharya were Brahmanas by birthright. But an actual Brahmana is one who possesses the Brahminical qualities. The Brahmanas, Sanda and Amarka, being seminal sons of Sukracharya, did not actually possess real Brahminical qualifications, for they engaged as servants of Hiranyakashipu. An actual Brahmana is very much satisfied to see anyone, not to speak of his disciple, become a devotee of Lord Krishna. Such Brahmanas are meant to satisfy the Supreme Master. A Brahmana is strictly prohibited from becoming a servant of anyone else, for that is the business of dogs and Shudras. A dog must satisfy his master, but a Brahmana does not have to satisfy anyone. He is simply meant to satisfy Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. That is the real qualification of a Brahmana. Because Sanda and Amarka were seminal Brahmanas and had become servants of such a master as Hiranyakashipu, they unnecessarily wanted to chastise Prahlad Maharaj. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, particularly Abhay Prabhu. So we are in this particular chapter seeing how Sanda and Amarka, who Srila Prabhupada calls as the seminal sons of Sukracharya, are sort of getting the act together. They are now about to start the process of chastising Prahlad Maharaj and somehow or the other trying to change his thought process. This purport is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes on what is the qualities of a true Brahmana. And Srila Prabhupada says that although Sanda and Amarka were Brahmanas by birth, but actually they are not Brahmanas. Because an actual Brahmana is one who possesses Brahminical qualities. So we see that particularly in this age of Kali Yuga, people masquerading as Brahmanas who do not possess the Brahminical qualities still masquerade as Brahmanas. I remember when I was a young boy staying in Goa. At the time of my grandfather's and grandmother's Shraddh, which used to come invariably in the month of April and May, one Bhaji would come to our house. And he would be affectionately known as Batmam. Batmam. By all the people who are staying over there. Because he was a single Bhaji. He was the only Bhaji in that particular area. And all functions he would attend. Right from birth, marriages, death ceremonies, shraddh ceremonies and everything. And whenever this person would come to our house, I remember still, I was maybe 11, 12, 13 at that time, he would come in a pair of pajamas. Not even full pajamas, half pajamas. So this is a very typical feature in Goa, where practically everybody, you know, maybe because of the heat, likes to wear very comfortable and loose pajamas. And somehow or the other, these pajamas never appear to be washed. It was always at least 3 days old. At least. I don't know how we managed it, but the way it would look, so shabby. And he would have a t-shirt on top of that pajama. He was at least 60 years old, as far as I remember. Of course, he was so thin that one couldn't really make out his age, but he would come, and then my parents, they would start the process of invoking the ancestors, because that is what a shraddh ceremony is, where you worship the ancestors, particularly your immediately departed parents. And the whole process would take about 15 to 20 minutes, where he would chant his mantras and, you know, all that achaman and everything he would do. And then and then after the whole process was over, then we would invite him for lunch. And invariably he would refuse, because it is auspicious to feed a brahmana on the death ceremony of your parents. All of us know that. So, but we would invite him and he would always refuse. Say, no, I'll go home and have my food. We never had any concept of prasad or anything like that. It was food as far as we were concerned. And then after the function was over, then he would come to the hall and he would sit in the hall on the sofa. And my mother would go to the kitchen and make 2 cups of coffee. One for the buttermom and one for my father. And then they would have their coffee with great enthusiasm. And then after he finished his coffee, then he would slip his pocket hand into his deep recesses of his pajama and remove out a packet of bidis. And he would offer one bidi to my father, because at that time my father would smoke. So he would offer one bidi to my father. He would put one bidi in his mouth. He would light up. And both of them would enjoy their bidis. And then my mother would give him a dakshina of 1 rupee 25 paise. At least one thing about him, he was not a greedy man. Even though at that time 1 rupee 25 paise was not so much money in any case. But every year, practically no inflation affected that 1 rupee 25 paise. Every year the same 1 rupee 25 paise, as far as I remember, at least for 10 years till I left home. Every time for my grandfather and for my grandmother, he would get 1 rupee 25 paise, he would put that into his pocket and then he would leave. And I would always wonder, why is it that he's not having lunch in the home of, and particularly in the case of a shraddh, there would be always very opulent prasad cooked, right? Some sweets and, you know, some extra sabjis and all that. And later on I came to know that he goes home, and Goa is a place where, you know, everybody likes to have a nice lunch at home that is always preceded by a glass of feni, a local drink, and then after that you go to sleep. So our buttermom, who is actually a brahmana, is supposed to be a butt for all the people over there. He would have his 1 or 2 pegs, then he would have his lunch, and then off he would go to sleep. And really, you know, at that time, because we had absolutely no awareness of what is Krishna consciousness, we were thinking that this is normal. The buttermom also is supposed to be having his daily quota of pegs. He is also supposed to smoke. He is supposed to dress like that, you know, wearing whatever 3-day-old pajamas. May not even have had bath before coming for the... So this is a brahmana, and such a brahmana is worshipped. When as soon as this buttermom would come home, all of us would pay obeisances to him. Invite him to the house. Of course, I don't remember having washed his feet, but definitely we would pay obeisances, invite him home, give him a lot of respect. And such is the condition of a brahmana in present-day society. And, you know, and this sort of brahmanas who are performing all these functions are so successful today. And they practically every day they are busy, you know, doing something or the other. They earn a lot of money. They have their motor cars nowadays. Earlier I remember brahmanas would come by trains or by bus. Nowadays a brahmana has his own motor car. He has his own cell phone, of course, that everybody has nowadays. So these are the basic ingredients that a brahmana possesses. Today, as a standard feature of his profession. So his profession makes him, earns him so much of money. I remember also the time when I was made into a Brahmana by the process of getting a Brahmin thread when I was 15 years of age. Such an elaborate function. So many Brahmanas would come and chant mantras, and then your father would chant the Gayatri mantra in your ear. And then for a few days after that, everything was very new, and I was just 15 years of age at that time. So every day in the morning, afternoon and evening, you would do Sandhya Vandan, you know, very religiously. You would learn all those mantras. But because there is no real association of devotees, all this is really superficial, and eventually over a period of time, very shortly, maybe I just did it for a month or two, the whole thing just died down. Nobody really bothered about whether you were doing this or not. Even your parents never bothered. Maybe once in a while they will tell you, oh, you are a Brahmana, you should actually be changing your Brahman thread. And invariably the Brahman thread will be black, jet black Brahman thread. Who would bother to change the Brahman thread? You have no concept of changing Brahman thread. You would have it for years till it broke. And then later on you would take one more thread and put it on. Without any mantras or anything like that. And particularly in the village, possessing a Brahman thread is of great significance. It's a matter of great prestige to be having the Brahman thread. And I remember my father telling me very, very confidentially that actually the greatest use of a Brahman thread is to scratch your back. particularly in the villages, people normally don't wear any shirts or, you know, any covering for the top. They invariably sweat and their back starts scratching. So the Brahman thread becomes a very useful tool in order to scratch your back. So that is by far the most important aspect of a Brahman thread. That is a value that a Brahman thread has. And Srila Prabhupada would call this Brahman thread a two-pice thread. Right? That's the value that it has. But still, so much of respect is given to a Brahmana. Although he might be indulging in all sorts of nonsense activities, particularly in a village. In a city nowadays there is not so much of importance that is given to a Brahmana, except the time when you perform all these functions. But otherwise, in a village, a Brahmana, in the house of a Brahmana, is highly respected. In our native place, we had, you know, a lane which was only Brahmanas on both sides. So we would have houses on one side and houses on the other side also. And the whole lane was occupied only by Brahmanas. Yeah, Smartha Brahmanas, caste Brahmanas. And you would never ever have a situation where a person of a lower caste would want to buy a house over there. There was no question. Or even stay in a rented accommodation. Nobody would even allow their house to be occupied by a person of a lower caste. It's absolutely not possible. And there were so many rules and regulations when a person of a lower caste comes to your house. You know, he has to be a particular distance away from you, depending upon his caste. There has to be that much of distance. If it's a person of very low caste, like a chandala, then it is prescribed that he has to be at least 50 feet away from you. He has to stand at least 50 feet away from you. If he comes low before that 50 feet, then you have to go and have your bath. Or if the shadow of a chandala were to fall on you, then, you know, you lose your caste. It's so serious. People are so caste conscious. And because of this suppression that this lower caste people had to undergo for all these years, hundreds of years, today we see a situation which is exactly the opposite. Today a Brahmana is a person who is actually a pariah in society. Particularly if you go to the south in Tamil Nadu, to be a Brahmana is a great curse. Practically about 80% of the seats in a school or in a medical college or in a engineering college is reserved for non-Brahmanas. 80%. So the Brahmanas have to fight for those 20% of the seats. There's so much of intense competition. A non-Brahmana or Shudra can get in with just 40% or 45% marks. Whereas Brahmana, he needs to get at least 90% in order to be able to be eligible to get into a government institution. Right? So the situation has become exactly the reverse now. And now there are brahmanas who are trying their level best to get a non-brahmana certificate. You have to pay money in order to get a non-brahmana certificate that you are a person who belongs to a scheduled caste. Particularly if you get a certificate that you are belonging to a scheduled caste, very valuable. You get so many privileges nowadays because you belong to the scheduled caste. A government job, admission of your children in any educational institution. It's become a racket now, somehow or the other. Get a certificate that you belong to the scheduled caste, which a person maybe around 50 years back would not even dream, not even think that I can do such a thing. But this is the situation today. So the concept of who a brahmana is and what a brahmana is supposed to be doing actually and how he is supposed to be behaving has got completely shadowed by Kali Yuga. Everything has become completely topsy-turvy now. The scriptures actually teach us as to who is really a brahmana. So, brahmana is a person who is following the path of bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. He is actually a brahmana. And of course, Srila Prabhupada says in so many places that actually a Vaishnava is far superior to a brahmana. So even among these brahmanas, we have to be very careful with whom we interact, because even a brahmana who is actually following the process of apparently pure devotional service, doing such wonderful deity worship in the south particularly, one has to be careful that one is actually associating with a brahmana who is following in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Otherwise, more often than not in the south, even though a person may be following all the rules and regulations perfectly, his ultimate goal may be to become one with the Lord. So you will see that all these brahmanas in the temples, they are worshipping such wonderful, they are doing such wonderful deity worship, decorating the Lord with so much of opulence and beauty. But still, the ultimate goal is to become one with the Lord. And it's very difficult for any one of us to really understand. And just by looking at the superficial behavior of a person, we could be actually putting ourselves in a very dangerous situation. What to talk about us? Even Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, at that time he was Raghunath Bhattacharya, the son of Tapan Mishra, when he was going from Varanasi to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a brahmana by the name Ramdas Vishwas came and joined Raghunath Bhatta. And this Ramdas Vishwas was such a humble person that all the time he would be looking out for service, which is one of the symptoms of a Vaishnava, Vaishnava Seva. A Vaishnava should always be doing Vaishnava Seva. And he would constantly beg Raghunath Bhatta that somehow or the other, please engage me in your service. And he would carry Raghunath Bhatta's bags. He would massage his feet sometimes. All the time he would be chanting the names of Ram. 24 hours of the day he would be chanting the names of Ram. So with this wonderful association, Raghunath Bhatta and Ramdas Vishwas, they came to Puri. And directly they went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Bhatta paid his obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that actually, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely ignored Ramdas Vishwas. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows he is a Paramatma situated in the heart of Ramdas Vishwas. And he knew that although Ramdas Vishwas was chanting the holy names of Ram constantly, still, he was a Mayavadi. He wanted to become one with the Lord. So only, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can make out from a person's, although apparent behavior is that of exhibiting pure devotional service, still, what is the motives behind that can be known only to the Supreme Lord. So even a devotee like Raghunath Bhattacharya could not make out. So pure devotional service actually transforms a person. Even though he might be born in a family of Chandalas, Shudras, Mlechas, Yavanas, it can transform him to a brahmana of such a high standard of integrity And we see from what Srila Prabhupada has done, people who are absolutely in such a deplorable condition of who actually no Indian would even associate with such a person. People who are hippies in America at that time, 40-50 years ago, were absolutely sinful. What to talk about breaking the four regulative principles, which was a norm for them. Somehow or the other, try to engage their senses in the satisfaction of itself. Somehow or the other, gratify their senses. This was the goal of life. 24 hours of the day, they would only be doing that. Seek more and more and more and more pleasure. Somehow I have to reach to a higher and higher platform of pleasure. Right? And this body, this mind is to be used only for that purpose. Somehow or the other, I have to enjoy myself to the maximum, to the limit of my capacity and beyond. This is the goal of their lives. And Srila Prabhupada, by reaching out to these people, actually managed to convert them into top class brahmanas. So this is one extreme of behavior where a person is seeking sense gratification 24 hours of the day, right? Absolutely, the goal of his life is only sense gratification, nothing else. If he is able to, even for a second, gratify his senses, for that second, according to him, he is the happiest person in this material creation. So, from one end of the scale to the other end of the scale, to being a brahmana who has completely controlled his senses. And not only that, to be able to preach to people and convince them to be able to control their senses. So that is a completely opposite behavior. And not just one or two, hundreds, thousand people took shelter, thousands of people took shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada at one time over 5,000 disciples. Something like that. So basically, at that point of time, so you can imagine, although the conditions were so deplorable, and nobody had heard about Krishna. How many people had heard about Krishna in the West? Nobody, when Srila Prabhupada went over there. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. When you come into contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, there is such a dramatic change in your consciousness. Such a dramatic transformation of your consciousness. It's amazing. Similarly, Haridas Thakur, chanting 192 rounds, sitting next to Tulsi, day in and day out. There was this envious person, Ramchandra Khan, who somehow or the other wanted to, because he was so envious of Haridas Thakur, he wanted to make him fall down. So he got the best prostitute from the locality. The most beautiful prostitute. And gave her a challenge to go out and convert Haridas Thakur. And this prostitute, she was so confident of herself. She said, "You leave it to me. Not only will I make Haridas fall down, but I'll see to it that he has a union with me in just one night." So here was a prostitute who had such charms that she could bewilder the minds of even the greatest of tapasvis. So she goes to the solitary place where actually Haridas Thakur is in a solitary place. She goes over there and she sits opposite him. And then she is making all sorts of movements with her body, exhibiting parts of her body. So this is the behavior of a prostitute. Somehow or the other, she wants to entice the mind of the man. Somehow or the other. I remember I was in a class in Mayapur once, and there was a sannyasi giving such a powerful explanation of this particular pastime of Haridas Thakur, and he was explaining that actually in a temple, Radharani is the supreme. Everybody comes to see Radharani and she's the most beautiful creation. She's the most beautiful person in this whole creation. There's nobody who is more beautiful than Radharani. But when a person comes to the temple and tries to project himself or herself, project his body, then actually that person is trying to compete with Radharani. There is a competition between that person and Radharani. They are thinking that I am going to present myself more superior to Radharani so that people can look at me rather than look at Radharani. It was such a powerful class. I was so impressed. So subtly we are competing with Radharani. So that is why Srila Prabhupada, when his Mataji disciples would be coming to the temple, right from the beginning he established this Vaishnava etiquette that Mataji should be covered completely. Because you cannot be competing with Radharani. There is no way. What to talk about competition between us and Radharani? We can't even be competing with the denizens of the heavenly planets who are millions of times more beautiful than the most beautiful woman in this world. The most ordinary woman in the heavenly planet is more, millions of times more beautiful than the most beautiful woman in this planet. And there are no ordinary women in the Swargalok. They are all beautiful. Supremely beautiful. Very, very beautiful. And compared to this, denizens of Swargalok, the denizens of Swargalok are most insignificant when they are compared to the gopis. And out of all the gopis, Radharani is the topmost. She is the most supremely beautiful. So the sannyasi was making the point that when men or women exhibit themselves in a temple, it is actually means that they are competing with Radharani or with Lord Sri Krishna for attention. But Srila Prabhupada has established the temples so that we can focus our mind exclusively on looking at the deities. We don't want to be looking anywhere else except at the deities and seeing their beauty and appreciating their beauty, meditating on them. This is what we come to the temple for, not for looking at any other object of beauty, because we know that that beauty is insignificant. It is transient. How long are we going to be beautiful? For a few years? 10 years, 20 years maybe, and after that we are going to become old and then we are going to die. So what is the use of decorating this body which is going to die in a short while, which is going to, more than death, actually sometimes death is preferred. If you ask a beautiful girl, would she prefer death over becoming old, she'll say, yes, I'll prefer to die. I would rather die than become old. Yeah, it's true. Or for a handsome person, he'll tell you that I would prefer to die rather than become old. Because old age is so humbling. It's such a pathetic situation. Particularly when you get afflicted by diseases like Alzheimer's. Where you become completely disoriented. You don't even know what is happening around you. And you know, what sort of a life is that? And still you could be living with Alzheimer's disease for 10, 15, 20 years. Your body could just be living as a vegetable. You are completely disoriented. You don't even know what is happening around you. But it could go on for 15 to 20 years. And you're just existing like a vegetable. What to talk about a person who is in coma? So this is the eventual situation that is going to happen to all of us. And yet we are so much attached to this body and we want to somehow or the other attract attention of everybody to this particular body which is going to die within a matter of time. And somehow or the other, even though we may be in the association of devotees, we still want to project this body. That is an unfortunate situation. It's so sad that we hear this philosophy, we know that we are not this body, that this body is going to die in a matter of time, very soon. At least if you are living for hundreds of thousands of years, then it might be worthwhile to take care of the body for at least some period of time. But when you are going to be living for 70, 80 years only,
out of which your so-called beauty is going to last for maximum till the age of 40. Once those wrinkles start coming, then nobody is even going to look at you. So Haridas Thakur was with this prostitute who was so beautiful from this material creation. And she was making all sorts of movements and gestures of her body to somehow that other attract the attention of Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur was completely unaffected. He told her that, "You please sit over here. I'll be very happy to fulfill all your desires, but I have not finished my rounds. Please allow me to chant my rounds, and once I have finished, I'll definitely fulfill your desires." So this prostitute sat down in front of Haridas Thakur and he was chanting his rounds. And the whole day and whole night passed. And it became morning at the time when everything is in Sattvagun. That's not the time for passion to be incited in a person. Nobody becomes passionate early in the morning. So then this woman, prostitute, realized that the whole night is gone and she was not successful. So she made a resolve that somehow or the other, not to worry, I'll come today night and do it. So again in the evening she came, bowed down to Tulsi Maharani, sat down over there. Haridas Thakur told her, "Just wait, let me finish my rounds." And like this for 3 days and three nights, she was sitting with Haridas Thakur and hearing the holy names. And then at the end of the third night, as Haridas Thakur was chanting, she was also mouthing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is the power of pure devotional service. Haridas Thakur was completely unmoved. Which Brahmana of this Kali Yuga could ever be in such a situation and not be affected like Haridas Thakur? A Brahmana who imbibes intoxication. For him, the next stage is to look for a woman. This is a natural byproduct of intoxication. So Haridas Thakur, completely fixed in his consciousness, not at all affected. To such an extent that he transformed this woman. And this woman fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and begged for forgiveness and told Haridas Thakur that, "Actually, I have been sent over here by Ramchandra Khan in order to make you fall down." And Haridas Thakur said, "I know. I knew this all along, but it is only for the purpose of saving you that I stayed back over here. Actually, I could have left 3 days back itself, because I knew your intention." This is determination of the topmost quality. And then Haridas Thakur gave her an instruction which is very, very relevant to all of us. He told her, "First and foremost, you go back home and distribute all your ill-gotten wealth. And then you shave your head and come back over here wearing just a single piece of cloth." So for a woman to shave her head is a great austerity. Because hair for a woman, or even nowadays for a man, it is so important in order to highlight all the features of your body. Very, very important. Most beautiful hair arranged in the most attractive way. And nowadays you put all sorts of colors to it to make it look more attractive. So in Prabhupada's temples, Srila Prabhupada would insist that women cover their hair, because it is an object of attraction. And particularly, women have a tendency to make that particular part of the body very, very attractive. So Haridas Thakur told this prostitute, "Shave off your head." Just like widows. Why do they shave off their head? In order to make themselves unattractive. Because any person with a shaved head is not worth looking at. That's why we shave our heads also. We don't want to become objects of attraction. We don't want to become objects of envy. We want to take a humble position. We want to be low profile. So that's the reason why we shave our heads also. So this was a very, very valuable instruction to this prostitute, and through the prostitute to all of us, that somehow or the other, if we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, then first and foremost, we have to get detached from our hair. That is the starting point. And then slowly and steadily you get detached from so many other things. So pure devotional service is so powerful. And that is the sort of brahmana that Srila Prabhupada is talking over here in this purport. Brahmana is a person who exhibits brahminical qualities. Not ordinary qualities, brahminical qualities. Cleanliness, compassion, truthfulness, so many qualities. And all these qualities, when they are exhibited by a person, whatever may be his caste, whatever may be his background, whatever may be his birth, such a person is to be called as a brahmana. So brahmana is not by birth. People are in such illusion that if they get born in a so-called brahminical family, a brahmin family, they become brahmanas. Brahmanas, a person becomes a brahmana by his attributes, by his behavior. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is for the purpose of making everybody into a brahmana. Each and every one of us over here. Srila Prabhupada has so wonderfully and so magnanimously given us this institution by which every person who comes into the through the threshold of any of the temples is given the opportunity to become a brahmana. One who controls his senses. And one who by his behavior, in an exemplary manner, preaches to others that they can also become brahmana. So preaching is not always by words. It's more effective when a person preaches by his own example. That is more effective than just parroting something which you yourself may not believe in. And in any case, the other person sees that you don't believe about it. Because it's so superficial. It's so artificial. Coming from a person who doesn't practice something. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur that there are people who practice but do not preach. And there are people who preach but do not practice. But you, Haridas Thakur, you do both. So a brahmana, in the way Srila Prabhupada wants any brahmana to be, he practices as well as preaches. First he practices, then he preaches. So each and every one of us have a great responsibility towards the society at large. To first of all, transform ourselves into brahmanas, the way Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be. And then after that, go out and preach. Purity is the force. That's what will attract people to our movement. And not only attract them to the movement, it will also keep them in our movement. When they see devotees who have been practicing this process for several years, when they are leading exemplary lives of austerity and renunciation, then that inspires others also to be following in their path, following in their footsteps. So we are so fortunate. We are so fortunate to be part of ISKCON. To have this wonderful association of devotees, to have this wonderful deities. Radharani and Gopinath, they are standing over there personally to give us darshan right from 5 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. Every day, 365 days of the year. Except when the table is under construction. So we are fortunate, very, very fortunate. And it is required that we appreciate how fortunate we are. We meditate on how fortunate we are, so that we don't take this for granted. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Just, are there any comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.